This is Kent Clothier. If you are looking to improve your life, improve your business, and just get it all together, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Time Is Now podcast.
We're live, girl.
We are live.
How are you?
I am good. I'm glad to be here with my buddy. I'm glad to have a good network, you know, of remote people that I've fostered relationships with.
Seriously, man. Yeah, it's one of those. This is, if it's ever been a time to start tapping into your network, it's now, right? I mean, there's.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even tell you. It's kind of interesting. Not for any particular reason. I just don't really tap into it as much as I probably should have. But man, I picked up the phone with you and a lot of other people. Few texts, few calls, and suddenly we got 30 people coming in here. 30 badass people coming in here and sharing a ton of information. I mean. I had no idea that my Rolodex was quite what it was but this little opportunity has proven it out to
me. Yeah, you're a good person. I always tell people, it's like, it's not about horse trading, you know, I don't do that. It's just about like showing up as a human being, owning it. Like I'm all about running, write a book this year about personal responsibility because I feel like it's lacking in almost every human being I deal with, especially rhymes with husband. But really I'm thinking about personal responsibility and how we get to be in ownership of the good things and the bad things, right? And it's like, we're so selective with what we're willing to own. And through this time has made you just really be present to like, if it's got to be, it's up to me and you've got to, and it's really fighting for your sanity. It's not, I don't think it's anything about productivity or anything like that. It's just, I think a lot of people haven't worked from home. And then a lot of people certainly haven't worked from home with their entire family there, right? Like you work from home, but your kids aren't there. And it's a totally different dynamic when they're there, you know? And right. I have five kids, as you know, and they're all with me right now. My son works for Capital One out in DC and they let him, work virtually back in March. And I mom carded him. That's what we call it. Mom carded him, which that means you don't have very many mom cards, but you're like, yeah, it's a pandemic. You get to come home. So and I'm not that mom at all. Like I probably saw him four times during college, unless I went to see him. Right. Cause it's just, I'm all about him living his best life. But I'm like, and he didn't argue with me cause he knows I don't do that. I'm like, yeah. So if we're all going to die, you're not going to be in DC where they're going to riot and burn the place down. You're going to be in Ohio, which is super boring. The worst case scenario, they're going to take our beer and our hot dogs from us. Like that's the worst thing that's going to happen, which is the first thing they did. Right. Cut down the bars and restaurants. We just shut Ohio down. Those fat asses can't go eat somewhere. San Diego's still moving. Ohio's like, what do we do? We eat.
Seriously. Especially even like, I mean, how's the weather been in the last, I mean, is it cold there right now? Because that would be
even worse. And you know, my family lives in California and all my best friends live in California, which is great for insomnia. I literally have a new routine where I wake up in the middle of the night, every night around 2. It happens. It just does. And I used to resist it and flip around in my well, you know, like flipper the whale. And now I'm just like, oh, okay. I'm just going to watch some TV. I watched an entire movie last night, Birds of Prey. It happened. I watched it from 2 to 4:30 and then I went back to sleep at 5. Text with a friend, solved a couple problems, you know, California friends. But yeah. They're all like got these, amazing weather out there and they could at least, you can go outside and walk. I know they don't want you at parks, but I know they're allowing
people to
walk and stuff. And it was like, Ohio, we can even go out and walk. I mean, we literally, it was raining, it was cold, like no one wanted to. I mean, sure, the diehards were out there, but not the normal fat people like me and Steve. We're like, we need a sunny day with some blue skies for us to get out there and start moving around. So, you know, so anyway, that has been interesting. But this week is good weather and it's made a big difference. And I think it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. I can tell you the first week out here, it was rainy. It sucked. It was horrible. Kids were trapped inside. And it was like, I mean, there's no doubt that that has an impact on your mental state. Especially if you're being stuck, right? Don't feel like you can move. All your mobility is being taken away. And then all of a sudden the sun comes out. And I mean, it is, I was telling somebody the other day, it's like a fucking parade out here. I mean, it's like people walking up and down. Now, granted, they're distanced. I give a lot of credit, but nonstop. Like everybody's like, I got to get the fuck out of the house right now.
Right. So it's almost like, but then those probably are saying people are like, okay, I got to work one more email, do one more thing, blah, blah, blah. But like, it's like anything, men, women, you know, when you tell us we have to do something, we're like, what? Because we were fine not going outside before. I mean, you know, some of that. We were just fine. Now we're like, man, we want to go outside. No, you didn't want to go outside the whole last year, but now you just got to get that walk on outside. You know what I mean? And it's so true.
It's like my fucking life. It's unbelievable.
Well, I tell people, people are like, well, what, you know, I think it's such a great opportunity because you can't really outrun your fear when you're trapped in your home. Do you know what I mean? You're just kind of with yourself. You're creating as much energy as you can. I'm doing these things like getting on here with you and other people and giving back, right? Because right now it's funny because my coronavirus hit for my work, my deal that, you know, with True Dog, it hit last year. So last summer, the same thing's happening right now, started to happen with the CBD markets, fast forward 2 months, but so to backtrack for anyone watching right now, you know, and I know, you know, this, but some people may know me, they may not.
And that's actually how I want to start. And before I let you get there, guys, do me a favor. Come on, say hello to Lori Taylor. This is a great friend of mine. We've been in a mastermind together for a very long time. She's had a huge impact on my life. One of the people that I always know that I can count on, one of the people that I will tell you that goes out of her way, and it means so much to me, goes out of her way, you know, I don't even know how to say it, like at the most opportune times, like she'll just hit me up, hey, by the way, that email that you just sent was really good, or by the way, that message you just sent, and just out of the blue, just to kind of let me know that, hey, I'm watching, what you're doing is good, I care about you, if you need anything. So this is an amazing woman. She's a wildly, wildly successful CEO and very, very powerful entrepreneur. So I'm excited for her to share her story. We're going to get into that. I want her to talk about some of the challenging stuff that she's gone through and building her own business, what she's advising, you know, people that she talks to and advises right now. We're going to spend some time together. Lori, if you don't mind, I know you're about to get into it. Kind of tell everybody a little bit about your background first and then kind of bring them up to speed, and then we'll do deep dive on kind of your journey.
All right, so everyone be prepared. I circle talk. I'm a direct response copywriter, so you never know where I'm going to go and where I'm going to come back to. But
We need fair warning, by the way. This shit's going to go. You're going to get like 4 hours worth of conversation in about 25 minutes here, and it's going to go really, really, really fast.
Bang for your buck. Big bang for your buck. But, I do want to give people some, just to understand where I'm coming from. So, like, when you get information from people that out there right now, I think it's important to know where they're coming from and what their lens is, right? So I want to tell you my lens of the world right now. I got good news and bad news for everyone, right? Depending on where you're at in life, depending on what kind of comparison game you're playing. So for me, I'm going to be super transparent. Most of my wealth is tied up in dog food, okay? So I owned a True Pet dog. I owned a company called True Pet. I sold it last year to a company that was doing a roll-up of a CBD company, a couple CBD products, and then they were leveraging our audience, our 150,000 customers, our subscribers, what we had created, and they were going to roll CBD into it because the farmer's bill passed and they thought they had a green light. So they got me going, and I wasn't in a place to sell yet. I was about a year to 18 months out of it. And so I went ahead and I thought long and hard about it. And where I came to for the decision I made, and this could even be applicable for people, when do you sell your company? When do you not sell it? At the day that it traded so my shares are just now getting registered right now. So this is all paper wealth. But when the day that they got shared, Kent, which is cool because I know you're a real big believer in the positive affirmation, quantum physics, all the things you and I believe in. I had been saying the entire time I was going to sell my company for $100 million. Every time I said, I'm going to get to $25 million. I did the math. I'm going to have 4x eBay. Like I had all of it planned. What I was doing from the very beginning, so if anyone's out there starting a business or in a business and you can go get in front, and right now would be a good time because they're not that busy, get in front of an M&A firm or someone like that that you could give your pitch to. So that you could, under the guise of raising money, but kind of knowing that they're not going to give you money because you're too early, but what they're going to give you is feedback. And so that's what I did. I pitched to this company right in the beginning to see if they would invest in a seed into my company, knowing they probably wouldn't. But what they did say was, we love the vision. We love the strategy. If you get to here, call me. And I worked backwards. So I was almost there, but not quite. And we were doing some pivots in the business to get it more profitable. We were just burning too much cash for the growth, basically. So we doubled growth year over year from the day I started. So it would just gotten to the point where it was just costing us too much. And it just wasn't catching up with this. Part of the problem was, and I do want to talk about this today with people about how to fix their business. So don't let me forget this. But part of our problem was we just weren't charging enough money. That's it. Like it wasn't anything else. We had sticky with it and we had a bad front-end offer that had the illusion that it was successful, but after a year and a half of tracking an LTV, it was not successful. So you have to be really careful on those campaigns that work in the beginning to make sure that they're doing long-term what you think they're going to be doing. So all we did was to turn our business profitable on True Pet was raise our prices by 20% in December when everyone else was discounting. So it wasn't easy, but we were getting ready to go under, which I'll come back to. So we had to, we didn't have a choice. So we did 20% and we got rid of a dollar bag offer. We couldn't test out of this bag offer, right? Because on the front end, it looked good, but it wasn't good. We were attracting the wrong people. 40% of our customers were deal people. So the only way we could buy a second time was just to hash, you know, slash our prices, but we're a high-end brand. It made no sense. And all of a sudden we're this expensive brand that's kind of a discount brand and our customers were really confused. So the minute we did this, we didn't really lose any customers. We slowed down our attrition, you know, bringing on our customers. But guess, wait for this. Month over month, our retention rate went from 63% month over month repurchase rate to 93%.
Wow.
Just by getting rid of dollar bags, people. So right now, as you're sitting there in your business right now, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is the time to get tight. Okay. This is the time to get tight. That's what we did. Because my Armageddon, which is everyone's Armageddon right now, it's not mine right now. I want people to know that I'm not hurting right now. Yeah, I want my shares to be registered and I'd like to have, you know, they won't take my paper money to pay for things, but my company, we're essential by Amazon. We just bought Halo. So we bought a big couple company and they have their 50% of their business is in Amazon and Chewy's. And guess what? They are rising to the top. Like, we're getting so many POs, they're probably pulling them all forward, if that makes sense. But at the same time, it's exactly what we needed. So we're doing like the perfect storm right before our shares get registered, right before all of our news goes public. And a lot of things I can't talk about, right? Because they're not public yet. But the things I told you, I can talk about. Right. So my point of all of this is I was where you're at right now last year, only I could go outside and I could see my friends, okay? The CBD market fell out by 70%. So this whole thing, the reason I said yes, Kent, is because my daughter asked me a powerful question. The entire time I've been selling my company for $100 million, which on the day the deal closed, our stock traded and the True Pet portion of the shares was $102 million, which is insane. It's not right now, but it was. And to me, like, that's really powerful that you write down your goals. That's something else I want to tell you right now. For all those people of you that haven't read Think and Grow Rich, read it and then apply it and go write down your goals for the rest of the year. Go write down dates, go be powerful. And the reason I'm saying this with confidence is because this is my second recession. I'm at level 50. Yeah, my daughter's at level 20. I'm at level 50. It's worked. So moms out there, start using it, dads. It works. I'm just like, yeah, okay, level 20. Yeah, she wants to call me boomer. I'm not, but I am level 50. And you're
level 50. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, isn't that 50 years young? We're not bullshit. I'm at level 50. I worked hard to get here.
You're at level 14. I'm at level 50.
So yes. Yeah. Level, because you know why? They understand levels, right? It's like, they get it. You don't even have to say anything else. You're just like, I'm at level 50, dude. But come on. So it works. It works in my parenting. Anyway, that's just a little side nugget. But honestly, to help people today, like, write down your goals. So what I'm telling people is, like, it's time to get serious. Like, just do it. In that free time, like Michael Benioff was saying, based on not having to commute, some of the errands, the things that we've been doing as humans, they've estimated about 3 to 4 hours a day have been freed up for people. If you already worked at home and nothing else was different, 3 to 4 hours just opened up for people. So what are you doing different in those 3 to 4 hours? Are you doing more of what you've always done? And is that working for you? Great. If it's not, feedback. It's just feedback. Like, okay, so what could I do? And think about if you were in a seminar, Kent, like a year ago, and Tony Robbins or someone had said to you, Kent, if you had 3 to 4 more hours in a day, what would you do? Right. I don't think it'd be more emails, more funnels, whatever. It would probably be something like what we're doing now for yourself, right? Like, play the piano. I know, like, all of a sudden I have friends learning languages. Someone's dusting off their piano because they used to play and they're doing it and they're doing songs and they're bringing their personality and their brand to the forefront because they don't really... They're trying to connect. They're trying to connect with their customers, right? But in doing that, you start to realize how much you've suffered as a human being to build what you've built and how little you have invested into yourself. At least that's what's happening for me and a lot of people that I'm hanging out with right now that I'm engaged with. And so it's a really great opportunity to start over in your mind.
Well, you know what's funny to make that point is, I mean, the meme game right now is on point, right? I mean, there's so many great memes out there, but I saw one the other day that was like, you know, all those times you told your trainer where, if I worked in a gym all day and all I had to do was work out, I would look like you look. Well, guess what? How you doing right now? And then, or the other one was, you remember all those times you said you would sit around, if I had time in the day, all I would do is sit around and build a business or go write a book. Well, guess what? You're here.
Nailed it. For me to write a book. You know, I'm a writer. I'm a copywriter. People pay me millions of dollars, seriously, a year to write their copy and do their shit. I still haven't written a book. hello. And I'm a great writer. And so that's what I'm doing. Like, that is my thing. Personal responsibility. I'm working on a title with my publicist and I'm doing a book. And it's about basically about how you can take personal responsibility to really create your own brand and be outrageously authentic in your life. And that's what people want. And I think this is your chance to do that right now, because I don't know about you, Kent, but I mean, you're starting to be able to tell people how they're managing the stress and how people show up in this. It's kind of tells you a lot about a human being. It's not bad or good. It just tells you a lot about what's working for them and what's not working for them and what's in the gap. It does. And it shows you. Says, live, I'm going to tell you guys. And the reason I feel like I'm authority right now is because I've been in coronavirus hell since last summer. Just I was the only one in it because the markets crashed 70%. We were with Jefferies, Ernst & Young. We had all the top, like, people going to IPO us because we were IPOing. We had, I'm not going to say the name of the company because I don't know if I can, but one of the biggest, like a $40 billion CBD company out there backing us, probably going to buy us, like literally a whole agenda, like a whole thing. The guy that bought my company sold his last company for $800 million and the company before that for $300 million. Okay. So he knows what he's doing. He knows how to put these deals together in CBD. It all fell apart. And then it fell apart. We were chasing top line because they told me to, because we're going to IPO and no one cared about losses in CBD space at all. They're just glad you had revenue and the game changed. And it's like, okay, well, now we've got to flip over to animal wellness and be an animal wellness company. And I'm like, well, profits matter there, guys. So we had to last year cut people. I stepped aside as a CEO in September because there were choices that I knew had to be made that I wasn't going to be able to make. But I just, my baby, I wasn't going to be able to do it. From a board level, yes, but it was really hard to be heard when I was the CEO on the board versus just being the largest shareholder of the company, right? So I'm on the board. Now I have more authority because I'm not standing up for myself anymore. So that was great, but it was hard. I didn't want to step aside. I want him to do what I want.
It's your baby. I mean, it's your baby.
Yeah. And I wanted to do what I wanted. I knew what they wanted to do was wrong. And I was right. They almost ran the company into the ground. My dad came in and saved it. Like he has so many times. That's exactly what happened. We needed to get this acquisition. It went sideways 3 times and we got it. And I'm telling you guys how I got through it. I cannot explain to you. There's no way for me to articulate the experience. I'm not going to try, but I'm going to tell you that if you just took your most anxious, trapped, helpless feeling moment you've ever had in your life, that's where I was. I couldn't do anything. And hear what I'm saying, do anything. I couldn't do anything. There were too many factors. It wasn't about revenue. All I could do was cut people, raise my prices by 20% and get rid of the dollar bag and hope to God I didn't lose every customer I had and kill my brand by doing that. And I didn't. So I want everyone to think about right now, why do you charge what you charge? Sit with me. I'm going to actually have to sit for a minute. I want you to think about this. Who told you what to charge? How do you know? Did you go look at other people's, what they were charging? Did you arbitrarily come up with a number that you thought sounded good? Did you read a book where everything ends in a 7? So you're like, seven, you know, you're making it, because I've read a book on pricing. I got to find the name of it, Kent, and I'll get it to you. That is really complicated to read, but it's very important. When you read it, you realize you've put no thought into your prices. None. Most people do not know their lifetime value of a customer. Most people don't really know how much it actually costs to get their customer. And most people don't actually know what it truly costs to service that customer. So if you don't know that, and I have a whole exercise I go through this on people, it's super basic. But if you don't know those numbers, like no shit, know them, there's no way you can build and scale your business to your best of your ability. There's no way.
Let's take a step back, because I think it's a great place for us to talk about this. Because you've had this experience, I've had this experience. It hasn't been sunshine and cupcakes and rainbows through that. It's been tumultuous times.
And that's why I love talking about it, because most people will just end at the $102 million piece and not say anything else. But
Great. It's great clickbait. I mean, I literally can put that on the title. Hey, sold our company for $102 million. Everybody be like, she's fine on private. That's not, she's got her shit done, right? So they have no idea that all the heartache that can come down that, especially depending on how the buyout is structured.
The co-CEO sent me a note. It was really funny. He says, remember that time when we tried to go public and the CBD market fell out by 70% and then the whole stock market dropped by 30% and then we had a pandemic. Woo, great time to IPO your company. Jesus. I mean, we got to the point, and I know I want to go back to the pricing, but I want to close that one loop for people. We got there and we got to the point where all of our financing was like deck of cards to house of cards, like, house of cards to try and get this Halo acquisition that we got. Now it's public, but we were trying to get it. And it adds, you know, they had $50, $60 million revenue, $6 million in EBITDA. Like, it was going to make everything glamorous. In fact, it almost made me glad because I hated CBD secretly. I thought it's a gimmick. I'm like, it's like stevia. Everyone's going to have it soon. It's not going to matter. It's just like nothing special. But I was willing to ride the multiple. So that's why I sold my company, because I was like, if we get an 8 to 10 multiple, we'll have all this money to grow the company and do this thing. Yeah. And it would be amazing. And I could get to the $1 billion, because my daughter always asked me, she's like, Mom, you always say 100 million, but why not a billion? And it always bothered me that I didn't want to do a billion. I met Sarah, who you're good friends with, and Jesse, and all, and you know, she built Spanx and did all that. And I was like, God, she's a cool, like, she's not like some CEO, like she's a normal human being, like down to earth like me. And I was like, she did it. I mean, and I just still didn't want to do it. But I think what I would have to trade to do it, I wasn't willing to trade. And so at the end of the day, me handing it off to someone else, taking a little bit off the table, right? Because I have all these shares, I'm the largest shareholder, take a little bit off, get a nice little thing. I was actually going to come to you and be like, okay, Kent, I want to invest in real estate. I don't know anything about it. I know I'd be great at it. I know you're the best at it. So I was like, you're going to be my guy. So I was like, going to come back in there and do that, which I will here in June. But the reality is that, and then let it ride and let these guys take it to a billion, 2 billion, and then, you know, a big piece, a small piece of a bigger pie, and actually get it done, like do it, right? And I, so anyway, long story short, that's what I did. And then we finally, thanks to my biggest investor, which happened to be my dad, he was able to PG a big loan. I mean, that's public information too. And me and him together, PG is mostly him, but I did do my part, PG'd a big loan for bridging finance so we could buy Halo. And I'm telling you guys, I cannot tell you, we almost got delisted because our filings were behind because we're buying this acquisition. At the end of December, in September, I almost lost my company. It almost went under. I saved it. Then we tried to get Halo and all that financing fell apart. And my guy that bought my company is like, I'm all out of moves. And I'm like, well, I'm not. And I call my dad like a child, but I had to because he has a lot of wealth in it too. So anyway, he was able to step in, and not everyone has that opportunity, right? So, but what I want everyone to understand is prior to me asking him in December, I was in my own personal hell and I had no idea what to do. And all I could think about was, I get to be, who do I get to be in order to create the situation that I want to create? And that's where I had to go deeper than myself, which you can come back to that. But the reality was, from a practical, tactical standpoint, which I know people really like to know about those things, it literally was me evaluating my pricing and understanding like really how much money we needed to get. And the reality was, we weren't selling our product for enough price to ever do that unless everything was perfect. Well, and Facebook's never perfect, and advertising's not perfect.
Let's talk about it, because, you know, as it relates, there's a lot of people on here in real estate. There's a lot of other business owners on here. I really want to talk about, you know, KPIs and really understanding the metrics, understanding lifetime value of customer, understanding customer acquisition. And clearly you've outlined a very specific benefit to that, is that if you don't understand let me just kind of summarize it for a second here. If you don't understand what it costs to acquire a customer, if you don't understand what it costs to generate a lead, if you don't understand the lifetime value of a customer or the revenue that you're, you know, really generating for that customer, the cost to service that customer, the reality of it is not only are you flying blind, but you don't know what lever to pull to fix the fucking problem.
Right.
So I mean, if you are able to acquire a customer at just an unbelievable price, right? You know, attention now and media now is probably as cheap as it's getting, that we're going to see it for a long, long time. If you can acquire customers at a reasonable rate, but you don't have a good lifetime value, well, you could literally be sitting here thinking, well, I've got to acquire more customers. We're spending too much on media. You're basically solving problems that aren't real. Instead of the problem is on the other side of the equation, right?
No, it's really, it is. I mean, if you want, I can share my screen. I have two slides I could show people. So what I want to talk to people about, and this is for any business, okay? I'm going to try to extrapolate it for everyone, but I'm going to give you guys some basic numbers here that maybe you guys, oh yeah, yeah. No, I don't think, yeah, yeah. I think you need to hear what I'm saying, because I've done a lot of consulting, and I literally, the biggest piece is product cost. So the first piece is you start with your dollar revenue. And what I'm actually going to do is go to the next slide. So I'm going to show you that what the target was to me that you can't be any higher than. I think if you have a product cost that's higher than 50% of your dollar that you're bringing in, that that is a really tough margin to sell on. If you're doing paid media, it's an extreme, and you don't have a strong continuity, or you don't have the easy way for them to come back and purchase again, which a lot of people don't. I do, I sell dog food. So my model can allow for a higher product cost. And contrary to popular belief, a good dog food, and mine's ultra premium, but like even a really nice kibble still operates at maybe a 20% contribution margin at the end of the day. I mean, it's not, and that's to cover SG&A and all the things. So it's not like we have a high margin like some of the supplement businesses. Like I know one VC won't even invest in an e-commerce business, just so people know this. I didn't know some of these numbers unless it's 80% or more gross margin, which a lot of people don't have 80% or more gross margins, and he won't even invest in it. He says, cause it's too hard to compete, and Facebook just is, and Google and stuff, the way they change the pricing. So I want you guys to look at this. If you think about this in terms of dollars and quit thinking about it in terms of financial calculations, it becomes like, how would you teach this to a third grader? Like, this is how you have to think about it. So for every dollar of revenue I was getting, we were at 52% cost of goods sold, right? So that left me with 48 cents. Like before I paid Facebook, before I did anything, before I paid people to come to work, for people to ship the bags, like I'm talking, I only had 48 cents to play with. Now that 48 cents, now granted, and let's say I bumped up to 50 cents, right? That's fine. But reality was we were at 48 cents. Our fulfillment costs were around 18%. A healthy target's 15. If you guys are trying to do a business where your fulfillment is 10% or less, you need to pick a different metric to improve. That is not allowing for any mistakes. It's not allowing for how people really purchase your product. Another mistake that we made is we use percentages in our financial accounting treatments instead of per unit costs. I also think that's another mistake that people make, because even with your business, Kent, let's say you had like your educational business. Let's say you have seven different products that you're selling. To really understand how much your overall target, overall business, how much each one of those courses actually nets you in revenue and costs you to run. And when you start to figure that out, what you will find, like anything else, is 20% of your programs are worth your time. And the other two need, the other eight, they need to be cut and revamped, and you need to bring them up higher to speed. So when you start to understand why, so then I ask, okay, well, why are you doing seven programs? And you know that five of them are optimized subpar, like at a sub, they're not terrible. You're making money, but they're kind of more of a drain on resources because they're not really knocking it out of the park. So then you have to ask yourself as a company why you went so wide. Now, I'm not saying there's not a reason to go wide. It could be, well, I went wide because I'm trying to increase my lifetime value of a customer, which I'll get to in a minute on how to move these needles and what we did. But I want you to understand your mind, the simple math of every dollar, 50 cents is gone. In my case, it was 52 cents was gone. Case of fulfillment, I take another 18. That's not, you know, that's just a cost of doing business for me. I got to ship packages out. You know, I need to be at 15%. And we did that. We did make the cuts to get there. How do you get there if you own your own fulfillment center? Start looking at call times, talk times. How many people is it taking? You know, if we're getting a ton of calls, when we got rid of our dollar bag people, we got rid of 40% of our calls as well, in a good way, because those people were always unhappy and they wanted deals and they were always negotiating with us. And it's just not who we were as a brand. So it didn't work. So now in my world, I had 30 cents left. Now let's go to the next one. Cost to acquire a customer. And Kent, so many people don't focus on this. And then so many people focus on this for a false sense of security. So just because you're getting your customer for a price that you think is a good price, if it's not against your revenue, if you only have 30 cents left after you paid your product, and in my case did fulfillment, so a lot of people won't have a fulfillment, right? And you only have 30 cents left to work with. I just want everyone to know right now on Facebook, my experience of spending millions and millions of dollars, and Kent, yours could be different. You sell a higher ticket item than I do. Remember, I sell average order value is about $50. So keep in mind on that. But when you look at that, for every dollar you spend about 25% of it's going to be spent on media if you're being aggressive with your growth.
Right.
I've seen people optimize it down to 20, but I've never seen anyone scale it. I don't care what people say. If you add up what they're really doing, I haven't seen it. Kit, you might have. I just haven't seen it.
No, I agree with that comment for sure.
And I think part of it, which is you guys all worked with me on that, let's go conspiracy theory, since we all have our tin hat foil hats on right now anyway as a humans. I actually think that it's ironic how it's true across all sectors. Almost. So I feel like Facebook has SIC codes and things like that. And with all the tracking, they know exactly, they know better than Kroger. What, you know, Kroger doesn't know what Procter & Gamble's margins are. But I can assure you that Facebook knows what yours are because they know when you quit spending money and they know when you scale money. And it pretty much is with as long as you fit into this formula. So that's why my theory is why a lot of campaigns are so successful in the beginning, because Facebook's learning their business and they're learning how else can they get more money? They're sold out on inventory. So how else are they going to raise that's how they're doing it. And that's why our CPCs go up and that's why everything goes up, and it's all relative. And we all do as much as we can, and we find new products, and they put their ownership on you to find new ways to get to your customers, right? So, but just know that if you think that to fix your business, all you have to do is get your cost to acquire a customer down to 15%, I think you don't have a business. Right. I don't think you have a business that can fail. I don't think you have a business that can go sideways. I don't think you can make a mistake. And when you're in a business where, and you've been there, Kent, I've been there, and it's usually right before you go under, where you can't make a mistake and you can't breathe and you can't fail or you can't get it done, that's when you start operating from fear. That's when offense is just some myth that people talk about, and you become in this defensive posture, and everything just keeps getting tighter, and you just keep defending because that's the energy you're putting out there. That's just what I believe. But I mean, I feel like I could change someone's business right now if they really listened to me right now, if they really went back to their team and said, okay, what's this? So, and the last piece is, so that took us down. So just so we're clear, at that point, we paid for, and we already had 30% cost to acquire a customer. We did get it down to 25, but I've seen it fluctuate down to 20. 25 is just what we're working from, where we're building our performance from. Because remember, I'm publicly traded now, so my guessing has to be pretty accurate or it's going to hurt the stock price. So what's left over for me is our SG&A. I mean, your SG&A sales and stuff should be 10% or less of your sales, unless you're in a high touch business. And I know a lot of people could be on this, you know, if you're selling high end coaching and things like that, it could be different. I haven't run that type of business and I don't have as much experience in there. Ken, I'd love to hear your feedback on that, but you know, SG&A expenses needs to be 10% or less. If you have 20, 25%, your business is too fat. And what I find from people is, you think you need more people, because what we tend to do, and I watched my CFO do this, is the more he didn't know, the more people he kept throwing at the problem, and they became quicker hires, faster hires, bigger. And like, you could tell that he just couldn't find the right person that would fit. So what I want to encourage you to do, and it's really, really, really hard. I'm terrible at firing people. It's like I can't do it. So that's my nemesis. I can fire a client, but I just can't fire an employee. Like, I always hold myself responsible. I always think I could have been a better boss, and that's why they're sucking, and because I'm not training them well enough and all the things. But then I think you have to realize, as a human being, who you need around you. And I need self-starters around me. I need people that are going to keep going. And then that's just who I need as a human being. So I think the other thing you get to do right now is get real with yourself. Take the Colby test. I know you've taken it, Kent. Take these personality tests and understand who you really are as a business owner and accept it. Just own it. Like, okay, fine. If you're not an organized person, fuck it. Okay. All right. I mean, there's a lot of successful people that aren't organized. Lots. You know what they do? They surround themselves with organized people.
Right.
And I think a lot of times we're trying to win the Kentucky Derby with Mr. Ed. And I think what a lot of times what starts your company and you start to grow and you have the illusion that that same team can take you there. And I'm telling you that a high performance team is hard to find at the zero. And it's really good to operate like $10, $20 million. That's when you start putting in and getting rid of moving people around. So you start getting those higher, more expensive people, those people with more talent, and you start investing in your team. And I think that that is the most important thing you could do right now. And so if I go back to here, here's how the ways you can improve your unit economics. Okay. Sure. So here's the thing. A lot of people work on how to pay less for a customer. And I think that's important. But if you are already at 20 to 25% of a dollar, trying to squeeze another 2% is a waste of time, it's a waste of money, and it doesn't work, in my opinion. And the only way to pay less for a customer is to improve your conversion rate. So that's when you need to get real. Go find out what other people's conversion rates are for a similar type funnel. When I say that, I mean, are they also doing a lead to a sale? Are they doing a webinar? Like, whatever your model is, find a couple people, maybe that aren't direct competitors, but are doing some similar funnel, and ask them, you know, ask them how their conversion rates are, what their targets are for a successful campaign. people will tell you. I talk to guys, it's Drew all the time, Cannoli's going to be on later. We tell each other stuff all the time because our avatars are similar avatars and they act similarly. And so we get good information. You can also try and improve your click-through rate. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think a lot of agencies are doing out there that are selling short on you guys is that you're investing in the wrong, you're not investing in landing page tests. You're not investing in A-B testing. You're not investing in offers. You're only paying your agency to run your ads to drive traffic, and they're not doing crap with your landing page. They're changing ads left and right, and it's the same landing page. And when I see that, I know you're not with the best people. You're not with someone who cares about you, or you don't run it in-house. And that's how I know. And so I think you have to be focused. If you really want to pay less for a customer, then you've got to invest heavily into an optimization team, if it's outside or inside, and you've got to invest the money into the tests. And you've got to know that of your five tests you run, four of them are going to fail. Mm-hmm. Think about it. It's only one winner. So you're going to burn money, but you're going to burn money to be smarter and better. And I think that people make a mistake because they keep switching Facebook agencies instead of making their agencies work better. So the other way you could pay less for a customer, which I don't think people focus on enough, is organic. I think organic earned media. And I think right now is a great, like what you're doing, Ken, is a great time to do that, to get out, put out helpful content. I think right now is making us realize just how much we weren't nurturing our customers. And when you see people, most people with their hands up their butts right now are people that are hunters and not gatherers, right? So you get to focus on that, realize it could be in your gap. But if it's in your gap, find someone to close that gap. And I'm telling you, if I could do it all over again, I had a couple strong players on my team, but every time my business pivoted, it would be because of a really great hire I made. I mean, where I paid the money. I mean, paid money I did not want to pay. And I set KPIs because I didn't want to pay that money. So I was a lot harder on that. Like, I was a lot more clear with what my expectations were. And then I realized how stupid that was, because even you're paying someone $50,000 versus $125,000, they both should be super specific, because every dollar that you're paying to someone should actually return $6 to $8 back to your organization. Some people think it's higher. And so if they're not performing at that level, that's the only way to me that I think you can pay less for a customer that's realistic. You can pay less for your product. A lot of people go there. I think that's good. I think beating up vendors for 10 cents and 20 cents sometimes is necessary. But for the most part, I don't think that's where most businesses are broken. I think that they're not charging enough for the product based on what they're paying for it. So in our case, we were only charged getting $5, sometimes four more dollars than what we paid for a product. Let's think about that. Like, it does not work. I can't tell you. Like, I'm basically subsidizing everyone's dog food across America. And in our sector, we were the cheapest in our sector. So we didn't even need to be where we were. We could just be 20% higher and still be in the middle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, go look at what you're doing. And it doesn't mean you have to go from 5,000 to 10,000 or go from 197 to 3,000. But like, what if you went, what would it mean to your organization to go from 197 to 250? Like, what would that mean? And if you, like an e-product or something, run that math, because that's what we did. Because sometimes you think your business is so broken that you have a $200,000 a month problem, when really you have one KPI problem. One KPI is wrong. And if you can fix that one KPI, that $200,000 goes away. And it's been extraordinary. When our results come out for Q1, I'm really excited. I will be shouting those from the rooftops, because it's impressive what happened. The other thing you can do is you can charge more for your service, and then you'll see your AOV go up, your cost, and all of that. And I think that, again, is really related to reducing your COGS or charging more. But at the end of the day, look at your average order value and just do the math. It's so simple. Like, what are you paying to get a customer, and what are they giving you at time of sale, and how long will it take them to come back? It was taking our customers, when we had the dollar bag offer for that cohort, it would take them 7 and 8 months for us to break even on that customer. And it just didn't work. We didn't have the cash or the financing to support that kind of growth. You can sell more to your customer. And I think that's another thing people miss out on opportunity to do. Even in the confirmation email right now, you know, you could send in a confirmation email to someone right now. What we're doing is saying, hey, would you like to donate a bag of CBD treats to a shelter right now? They're normally $35, and we'll pay the difference. Will you support us for the shipping? It's $3 or whatever. And people are ordering them left and right. because we're sent into a shelter, and they're basically we had some stock that we wanted to move because we're not really going to be big in the CBD space, and we want to give this to senior dogs because we know it helps them. And senior dogs in the shelter, they're the longest and they hurt the most, so we want them to have it. So it's a really good win-win, right? So how can you create that in your business where you say, okay, you just bought this for us, I'll let you buy this for a friend for 50% off if you're the kind of person that would gift this to a friend or something, because things are always better together and you have an accountability partner. I mean, you have the opportunity to try and get a second sale for a different reason in light of this virus and where we're at right now. So I think selling more to your customer is the most missed opportunity everyone has. Every single person has it. And you know, it's true. It's like more of the same. You know, a lot of times you'll find your $10 off from making a KPI like that. And this could one upsell could change that. And yeah. Then, you know, the last piece is just to increase the frequency in which you talk to them and get that repurchase rate up higher. So if your customers take 3 or 4 months to repurchase from you, why? Like what could you do to create a sense of urgency? And which I think is what this virus is doing for people right now, because a lot of people need to generate cash. They don't have enough stockpiled and they're thinking of quick ways to generate cash. And it's like, what if you took those quick things you have to do now and developed them into an actual strategy into your campaigns? And you took this time like I did as a forcing function and be like, well, my business is on pretty wobbly legs anyway. If I was ever going to take a risk, maybe now's the time to do it. Because we've been talking about getting rid of that dollar bag for 18 months. Right. And it took the business almost going under where I was like, you know what? We don't have a business with these guys, because if I can get rid of them, I'll be profitable. And I got rid of them and we are. And so that's what happened. So you can take the screen back, but I just wanted people to see.
This has been amazing, girl, by the way. Thank you very much for doing this.
I hope I didn't bore people with that, because I know it sounds exciting, some of our stories, but real quick, if you were bored by it, that's feedback, because that either means you're crushing it and you could go teach 5 people on your team this, or it means you think it's not important. And Vinny Fisher used to get up and talk about merchant accounts. Remember in the war room, he'd go on and on about those. And we all hated him, right? Because I mean, we're like, oh my God. And he would be so detailed and everything. And then I realized, you know why you don't care? Because you don't have a big merchant business.
Right.
That's why you don't care. And then I said, why don't I have a merchant business? And then that's when True Dog kind of got started. It started to birth in my brain, but that's why I didn't care. So if you don't care right now, you think it doesn't apply to you, but if you sell something and people give you money, even if you're a real estate person, I mean, you still cause your money to run your business. Here's the thing. If you don't know what I just said, then you are showing up to the poker table like a half a deck short, because you don't have the facts. Like you should, if you know that you can afford to acquire 1,000 more customers a month, wouldn't you want to know that? Like sometimes these numbers reveal where you've been kind of being a pussy, right? Because you didn't know, you just kind of been doing the same thing successful. It's like, dude, you know, we could probably charge 20% more and get a $2 million bump. Would you say yes to that, Ken? I think you'd say yes to that.
Yeah, of course.
And you don't have to change anything, guys. And my dad taught it to me, health insurance. How do you think? They just raise their premiums every year. And that's how they grow. Like, you don't have to get more customers. They just raise their prices. But we don't do that as entrepreneurs. We hadn't changed our prices on some of our items, Kent, in 4 years.
Wow.
That's crazy. And part of it was because we weren't getting our prices changed to us. But we had built a real brand and people were confused by the brand. They're like, it's the best, but it's the cheapest and you can get it for a dollar, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense. That's not how Louis Vuitton sells purses.
Well, yeah, you know what? That's exactly the point I was going to go back to is that there's one of the things that's kind of hidden in everything you talked about is going back to the dollar bag for a second, is that sometimes when we are so anxious, again, talking about solving the wrong problem, we're so anxious to try to be everything to everybody, we forget that our customers that we really want to attract into our business actually appreciate the fact when we put our stake in the ground and say, no, this is what I stand for. This is what I believe in. This is my tribe. This is who, and everybody else, quite frankly, fuck off, right? You're not, I don't need your business. I over the years, I've told people this so many times that part of being one of the biggest lessons I've learned over the years is that when I started being very, very real and stopped trying to just attract everybody and stopped trying to discount my prices and do all this other shit, right? And these times are a little different. We're doing a lot of stuff to help people. We're doing under normal circumstances. No, we don't discount prices. We know that we're the best. We know that we charge a premium. We know we have amazing service. We know our value. And I know I'm abrasive. I know I just tell you like it is. I'm raw, I'm uncut, I'm uncensored, and I don't give a fuck. And quite frankly, if here's the beauty of this for me as an entrepreneur. My customers, they're attracted to the real version, the real thing that I stand for, the real business, how I can really help them. And the dickheads, I'm repelling them away. And I don't want that customer anyway, right? That was nobody that I wanted in my world.
We had in the very beginning, you're going to love this, and you and I are so much the same, but in the very beginning of True Pet, and yeah, be careful because I use my voice a lot and things like that. We had a lady that just started going off on us on social media, you know how it goes, and she was saying that something about, I don't even, it has to do with pets being property or a pet and a synonym beating and all this stuff. And so basically she was offended by the term pet parent. It's just a political thing within the space, right? I was like, no. And I sent an email out to the entire list. I was like, okay, you need to unsubscribe if, and I put, look, if you're going to be the kind of person that brings politics into pets, bye. I don't like you. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to help you. I don't want to sell you anything. I'm like, because you missed the point of pets. So if you politicize pets, you're out. I do not want your business. And I'm a pet parent. Okay. I'm a mom. I talk for my dogs. I feed them before I feed myself and even my children because they can't feed themselves. I would actually feel guilty. And if you're not that person, we're not going to get along. And I'm cool with that. Here's our competitors. Go check them out because this is what I stand for. It's a real company with real people. My dog died of cancer. This is his legacy. And I'm not going to debate politics with anybody at all. I'm like, I'm just going to block you and I'm not going to sell to you. And I got more people being like, amen, sister, and blah, 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 because I meant it. It wasn't even a staged bullshit. It wasn't a staged Gary B rant. It was like literally like how I felt, you know what I mean? And so energetically, when you put a truth out there, like Kent, the minute I said, we don't want dollar bag people. Our food is not for you. You just want to switch your dog's food all the time, which I think is a terrible idea. So no. And if we lose you, who cares? And when I said it, Kent, I meant it. Like I literally meant it. And boom, we got what happened? We started attracting better customers. Like what you said. It's like in this.
Well, what happens is you make people pick a side, right?
Yes,
there are plenty of people. Yeah. There are people that, I mean, this has nothing to do. I mean, if people are in financial distress and they cannot afford a premium brand, I get it. Right. I mean, I don't wish you any ill will. The problem is that you're just not, this is not a brand. Just because I want to drive, you know, for instance, just because people are sitting here watching and you want to drive the Rolls Royce, you don't sit there but you can't afford to drive the Rolls Royce right now. Your business is there, your life, whatever the case may be. Just because you want something doesn't mean you necessarily are entitled to that thing. And that applies to every brand that's out there, right? Especially when it's premium brands. And so
but for your brand, can't like, it's not fair to the people who paid. Okay. So women wanted me to join this group. And in the group, we were going to be like good old boys club and refer everybody to everybody, share contacts. Well, at the end of 6 months, I was the only person that had, you know, and I was like, okay, this isn't helpful to me, but I don't mind helping people. But I realized like, that's what you're creating these masterminds. If people pay, there's wealthy people out there that know nothing about e-commerce. That could write you a check and come to it. Like we could put something around e-commerce. You could have me, they could afford to write the check, but what a waste of time. They had no value in the room. They don't have any experience. They have no breakdowns. They have no failures. They have no wins. They're on the bench. They're deciding, waiting, wondering. And that's not other people in there. Like they're suffering. They're trying. Like a lot of people may have invested this money because they need to really step their game up and hang out with people who are winning. So I love that for you. You're saying, look, I'm not for everybody on the multiple levels. And it's not like you don't want to help the little guy doesn't know anything. But there are other people that are better at that and dedicated to that, and their 100%. Entire system supports that. You're for the more, like, I'm not saying, you know, I know you could take me and turn me into something in real estate. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you don't have $10,000 or whatever to throw away, then don't play at that level yet. Like I've been in a group for e-commerce group as a mastermind. People paid 20 grand to be in there and I had me facilitate. I mean, they didn't know what a URL was. They didn't know what GoDaddy was. I was like, well, you are. So then they're going to go back and say that this person's mastermind sucked, but they literally can't do. It's like me going and running my daughter's grand pre-clinic. What's that going to do for me when I can't jump any of the jumps because they're too high? So I just stand in the middle and like, why would I even want to do that? You know, so.
And so the bottom line, I want you to walk out of here. And again, there's so much great, amazing content that was just shared here. But one of the biggest things I want you to understand is that when you are extremely convicted about your business and your passion and what you do, and you don't lose focus of it, and you care about it so deeply that you actually take the time to run it like a fucking business, like Lori just went through here, right? And get the numbers and really get dialed in on it. Then even when you do pivot off, because we all naturally kind of, you know, bump around, right? We all have our moments, even, you know, you are very, everybody does. But even when you go and, hey, let's go try this dollar bag offer or whatever the case may be, I may go try free plus shipping in. And but when you find that you're attracting the right client, when you're really convicted about your business, it will reveal itself very quickly. Like, wait a minute, what the fuck am I doing? This is not who my client is. It's creating cost because I'm having to take this dipshit customer and I'm running them through the customer service reel. Now I'm having to hire more customer service people.
Yes.
To deal with people that all they were going to ever do with me was spend $8. I don't want this client, right? I am a premium brand. I know who my client is. I know exactly what I want to do with them. I know exactly how I want to help them. And yes. So, but that starts again with you as the CEO. You have to get convicted. You have to understand what you stand for. You have to understand your mission. You have to understand your purpose. And you have to understand who your client is and who best serves your business. And what it, again, now going into the numbers, what it costs to acquire that customer, what it costs to service that customer, and how you can bring more value to them and ultimately bring more value to your company by managing those numbers. By the way, if you don't know any of this shit, as Lori just said, this is a clear indication that you need to pay really close attention to this time because you have an amazing opportunity right now to fix your shit.
Right. This is, and guess what? This is the, if you were ever going to fail, right now is the time. So okay, everybody's kind of, you'd be like, well, I tried something back. It was a virus. You're like, oh yeah, everyone sucked it back. You have a chance to look really dumb and do something really stupid and try something you've never tried before. And here's the thing, Ken, I'm going to add two things. One is I just heard a really cool guy, a guru, like I forgot, he's an Indian guy. He was on Tom Bilyeu's show and he said, the minute you draw a conclusion, your brain's dead. Like the more conclusions you draw, the less growth you get. So to stay curious and stay open and not think you know anything and say, hey, Lori's talking today. What are we charging? Well, you should go back to your team and say, should we be charging 20% more? Would that hurt us? Because you just lifted your business. You just meant you had to get less customers because I think a lot of times customers are sanity, but profits are, you know, is vanity, but profits are sanity. Because what you just said, we will, if you think of your customers in a quadrant, A, B, C, D, right now, what I'm telling people to do, if you do nothing else during this virus, dig into your data and figure out who your A people are. Who are your best freaking clients right now? And how much value can you give them right now? Like, we love to be really sweet to the mistress and the girlfriend, but go home and keep your wife happy is what I'm saying. So go to your best customers and how can you get them to be your ambassadors and help you, right? It's true. It's
Christ. True. You and who did this? I had Kern on here 2 days ago, basically made the same fucking analogy. I had Perry on here yesterday.
Perry and I are best friends, so that makes sense. We're like the same clock. But I want to tell you something, because you just said something powerful to everyone. I loved your rant, okay? And there's some feedback here. So I was with you. You have to. But I think the problem is it actually feels like you have to. Remember what I said earlier about staying in the house because we have to, now we don't want to? It's almost like that sometimes can cause resistance. So, you know, I would encourage everyone, as I wrap what I'm doing today, there's all kinds of things you can do with language. But if you change just these two words for a week and you get your whole company, like, Ken, every time they say the wrong word, you correct them. Say, yep, get to. Instead of have to, get to. Every single thing. Even if it's, Lori, you get to call 100 customers today and help you overcharge them by $1,000. Why? Because I have customers and I'm able to call them and speak because I can talk out of my mouth. And I almost was in a wheelchair and couldn't talk out of my mouth. So all I'm saying is, even now when I run outside and I leave something in my all the time, right? So I run outside and I think, oh, God damn it. And I beat myself normally. Now I'm like, well, you get to, it feels different. You get to go back in and get your phone because you're a dumbass. But I mean, it feels different than you dumbass, right? It
just feels different. You're exactly right.
So it's like, you get to, as a CEO, numbers, you get to know your numbers. You get to know what you can charge. You get to know what you can afford to pay. You get to know what you get to do. And the other piece, shoulds. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about should all over yourself, so you shouldn't say should. But I find it's really hard to eliminate a word, but it's not that hard to change the word because we speak how we speak. Should to could. Every time. So when my kids say, oh, mom, I should have done that, I'm like, you could have. Because when you say should have, there's some little thing, who are we blaming? Like, I should have, but now God's mad at me. I should have, now my mom in the grave's mad at me. I should have, and my husband's mad. Like, who is causing the should pressure? And why not shift it to ownership? Like, I could. I could have written that book last week, Kent. I could have. Because in that moment, it feels better. And you know, you could have, but you chose something else. And the minute you start realizing you're the one making the choices, it's a very powerful feedback.
No doubt.
It puts you back in control. And so, yes, the time is now. The time is now to be in control, to be who you get to be. Who do you get to be right now to grow your business? Do you get to be more brave? Do you get to be more courageous? Do you get to slow down? Do you get to be more present? Do you get to take a fucking break because you can and no one's not doing that much? So fuck it. Everyone take a break for 30 days. I don't know what your truth is, but I know the time's now.
Yeah,
because no, this is the craziest time of our life. If you don't make some difference improvement in yourself, even if it's to shut down your business, because that could be improvement for some people, you're going to look back on this time and wonder, you're going to know a lot about yourself. Let's put it this way. This is a very defining time for who you be. And it's a good time to start developing podcast routines and YouTube and filling your mind with things that grow your brain and get your subconscious. 95% of you is not doing its own thing and getting it lined up with what you really are by being who your brain needs you to be to help you create the opportunities out there.
This is amazing, girl. And I want to be respectful of your time. We've come up right against our hour. You and I could literally do this all day.
I mean,
we could just take that last 5 minutes and go,
right,
you know? So I'm definitely going to have you back on here and let's do this with this group again in the future. I love you. I appreciate you. How do people connect with you? What's the easiest way?
The easiest way is like Facebook. I'm on Facebook a lot. It's funny. I shut down my Twitter account. Sam Being Brave. It's like I built that thing, 65,000 followers, way back, totally different way. Not, but it didn't buy the fans organically because I got there in the very beginning and blah, blah, blah. But like, it's not who I'm about. It's not the personal development crowd. It's not that. So I'm like, you know what? Boom. And everyone's like, you can't. I'm like, because it's not who I am. And I'm like, and it's so old and the people in there and I'd have to be talking about social media and I'm it. So I'm transitioning, so I'm doing that. So you can get me on Twitter at Lori R. Taylor, but I have like 4 friends. So I literally just turned it back on. And then Instagram, Lori Raylene Taylor, but I don't do much on that either yet. But I'm getting ready to. That's what I'm doing. If everyone wants to know what I'm doing right now is I built True Dog social media up like a baller. Our Instagrams was crazy when I was there doing it. The engagement, we got to 47,000. I mean, we really did well. We have millions of fans on Facebook across 30 breed specific pages. I did all that. But it's time for me to be the wind beneath my wings. And that's the thing I'm trying hard to get to, is to do my thing. So
you are amazing. Thank you so much for bringing so much value this morning. I appreciate you checking in and bringing it, girl. You're amazing. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Hey, thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten signed up yet with one of our award-winning products, I would invite you to go to reww.com. Check it out. Whether you're looking for advice on entrepreneurship, you're just looking for access to our Real Estate Investing Academy, whether you want to attend one of our upcoming live events, everything you need is right there. Plenty of videos, plenty of free training, plenty of access to software and tools that will help you to become a really successful real estate investor. Again, everything is right on the site at reww.com. You can also check us out at kempclothier.com.